this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Well, it's a privilege to be with you again, and it's been a while since I've been here on a Sunday. So I think the last person was my wife that was here. Was that earlier this year? I think she was with you, so she sends her greetings to you. And it's a thrill for Fiona and I to be able to move around our churches. Since I retired from being a senior pastor at Stirling Church in the Adelaide Hills, I've spent a lot of my time on behalf of our movement moving around all our churches all around South Australia particularly, but we've just been in the Northern Territory for the last 12 days as well, a month ago. So trying to work out where I am in August, end of August anyway. We were up there, and I was down at Port Lincoln some weeks ago, and in the Adelaide Hills last weekend, and now here with you. So it's a privilege to support our... We have about 60 CRC churches that are part of the South Australia, West Australia, Northern Territory gathering of churches. So in a couple of weeks, next week, I'm actually at your in-laws at Macclesfield in the Adelaide Hills. So it's a privilege to move around all our churches, and some are big, some are small, and today I'm here with you. And it's just a thrill to be used of God to minister into people's hearts and lives. And we're trusting for that to happen again this morning. You ready to receive from God this morning? I pray so. I love giving words of encouragement to people and scriptures with a sort of, I trust, some sense of a prophetic edge to them, so that if you're really looking for God to lead and guide you this morning, and if I don't give a word to you, would you come and see me at the end? We'll give time, and I'm happy to hang around and just keep praying for people. So if you feel like, wow, why didn't he pick me? Well, the Holy Spirit is open to you coming forward too. So, but I do love giving words to people and encouraging them. Well, Bethel is the name of your church. Do you know what it means? It means the house of God. Do you know when it was first used? In the Bible. That's doing good. It was actually where Jacob had the vision, remember? And he saw the stairway going off up into heaven. And he had that sort of sense of encounter with God. And I know that's what I'm praying for this morning, is that heaven would come down to earth here amongst us, and that your name would be more than just a name, but would be an experience of us encountering the presence of the living God, and that his spirit would just touch your hearts and lives. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So I want to talk about partnership this morning, because you can partner with a whole heap of people and situations, but the most important connection and relationship you can have is with Holy Spirit. And I want you to just be open to his spirit here this morning, because there's nothing more dynamic than walking through life with Holy Spirit. The next slide that I've put up there talks about the importance of developing a partnership relationship. And you notice that I didn't put a dove up there for the Holy Spirit. What have I put? A goose. A goose. Do you know the Celtic Christians back in the 1300s had a name for the Holy Spirit, and they called him the wild goose. And it's where we actually get the expression going on a wild goose chase from. It came from actually chasing after Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but when you think of a dove, which is the normal picture of the Holy Spirit, you sort of have this notion of something that's very, well, it's white and it's pure and it's soft and it coos and it's a comforter. It's all those pictures that we have of the Holy Spirit, often as the counselor and the carer and the one who draws alongside you and is there to intimately be with you. And I guess he is that. And the notion of the Holy Spirit being like a dove, of course, comes from the time when Jesus got baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. But it's actually the only time we've ever mentioned that it says that the Holy Spirit was a dove. And so the Celtic Christians called him the wild goose, because they thought that following Holy Spirit was something that was really adventurous. And the goose was an animal that couldn't be tamed. It had its own sense of individuality and direction. It wasn't predictable. You never knew where it was going to go next. And it's a good picture to actually have about Holy Spirit, is that he's inviting you on a journey today into the future, into that which you can't predict, but it's an adventure. It's something you should get really excited about. There's all sorts of partnerships you can build in your life. You can build them with people. You can build them in your work circumstances. You can build it. We often talk about our in marriage relationships often now, this is my partner. Well, look, the best partner you can have is Holy Spirit. And I just want to, I guess, demythologize a bit what it is to walk with Holy Spirit, because many of us think that that somehow means I've got to give up and my life will become conformed and narrowed and confined. You know, I wanted you to see that Holy Spirit's ready to take you on an adventure into your tomorrow. And that it, the best is really yet to come for all of us. And Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us and take us forward. So come on the adventure with me today as we explore what it means to be in partnership with him. The verse I put up there in Galatians 5, it says, live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. You know, that's got that picture to me of excitement and of it being an adventure to walk with God. In John chapter 3, verse 30, it's an interesting verse. I might decrease that he might increase. That's the words of John the Baptist. And I used to always quote it that way. Lord, help me that I might decrease, Lord, that you might increase. But it's actually the wrong way around. It's actually, if you look at the quote, it says that he might increase so that I might decrease. See, the question is, how do you decrease? We've just been singing songs that talk about less of us and more of God, but how does that happen? The only way it can really happen, how do you become less? By him becoming more. It's the focus on Holy Spirit that's so important. That you, Holy Spirit, might become greater, as it says there. That's actually from the rendering of in the NIV version. He must become greater and I must become less. Most of us live in a partnership with Holy Spirit where we drag him in from the side. We use him when we need him. It's not that he's the active partner, he's the inactive partner. And we just draw on him at times of crisis. I want you to understand that the greatest adventure you can do and have in your life is to do life with Holy Spirit, hallelujah, and to be open to him and to see where he can take you. Now, I've put out my old, this hasn't been used by the way, this is a clean hanky, but I'd like a couple of volunteers. Maybe you two guys, would you mind helping me? Yeah. Come up here. Can you tie these around your leg like those people on the picture up there? Okay? And you're going to do a three-legged race. You know what that's about? Yeah. Now, be careful. Is it long enough? Almost. Just a little knot. You don't have to make it so tight that you die. Now, that'll do. Now, I want you to walk up there together, okay? Off you go. Oh, that was hopeless. You already come undone. You better do it up again. You should. Now, this verse here, as they're getting ready, talks about spiritual synchromesh, or doing things in harmony, or keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you the question this morning, how in step are you? Off you go again. Try it a bit better this time. Here you go. Okay. Now, turn around and come back. Now, do you notice it immediately started to improve when they did what? Put their arms around each other, okay? And also, one of them had to start giving the directions. We'll start with this foot. Or we'll turn around this way, you just said, okay? See, Holy Spirit is like our partner. But you know what we tend to do? Is we disarm him and we just go at our own pace. And Holy Spirit is saying to you, come, come. Now you guys come. All right, now let go of each other. And I want you to come faster than him. Come, come. You don't even know which leg to start with. That's how. Come. I haven't told you to stop, but I'm telling you to come. All right, put your arm rack around. Holy Spirit, we'll make you the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, you say how you're going to come. All right, now immediately you start to work. All right. Now, thank you so much. That'll do for the illustration. Now, I want you to picture yourself tied to Holy Spirit. You can give me my hanky back. Thank you. I want you to picture yourself with Holy Spirit. Synchromesh is interesting. It's when things move together in harmony. You know, in a motor or in gears of a car, you develop synchromesh. You've got to learn when to push the clutch of faith in and change gears. I drove a car here to the airport in Adelaide this morning, my son's car, one of his cars, because my wife needed our car. And it's the first time I've driven a manual for a few days or a few months. You've got to learn how to use the clutch, don't you, on a manual, and just get it right. And I'm not familiar with their car, and I was a bit jerky at the start, but I got the hang of it in the end. I just knew how to get myself in sync. And you need to think about Holy Spirit, something you learn to do, to get in harmony with him, to keep in step with him. You know, how's your spiritual synchromesh going? How are you grating the gears? Are you kangaroo jumping down the road? Remember what it was like when you first learned to drive? Bunny hopping down the road? Because you didn't know how to do synchromesh. And eventually you get the feel and you learn how to just engage the engine at the right pace. You know, Holy Spirit is here this morning and he's saying, come on the adventure, on this wild goose chase with me. And let's see where we can go together. If you just keep in step with me. Now put your arm around me, he's saying, and let me give the lead. And let's take off. Now, at some points in life, you'll have to run pretty fast. Right now, I gave you a word this morning about being satisfied with just doing things a bit slower. Okay? Because sometimes we want to run ahead of God. But other times he's just saying, just take it steady. Right now, keep in step with him. So where are you in your journey? Are you running ahead of God? Man, we do that sometimes, don't we? And it's often, as I've put up there, driven by our own ego and pride. I can do this. I don't need you, God. And off we go. And then we fall flat on our face. Those two guys who were tied together, if one takes off faster than the other, they'll both fall down. And you know, with Holy Spirit, it's like that. If you take off ahead of him, you'll fall flat on your face pretty quick. I was saying, Fiona and I were talking about our lives last night. I said, when have we run ahead of God? We have to think a bit about it because, you know, I'm very thankful that I've got a wife who tempers me and I her, you know. And we haven't made too many wrong moves in our lives, but I can sure think of a lot of friends who have, or people that I've known in ministry who've rushed off because God has told me this. I'm not sure that God did speak that way to them. They themselves had the agenda. And they use God as a sense of a crutch to try and vindicate their own sense of impatience. I'm going to make this happen. And off they go. I can think of a friend of mine who with great enthusiasm, decided that he was the evangelist of the hour. And he even hired a hall to get all these people to come to listen to him preach. He was a reasonable preacher, but I thought, mate, you're running ahead of God a bit. You haven't even shown anything yet and you're already hiring a big hall. And it was embarrassing, you know. It was so sad because only a handful of people came and he felt devastated. But he'd run ahead of God. Now, was God telling him to be evangelist? Yeah, probably. Was God saying, hire a hall? Probably not. He was probably saying, let's just keep in step with me and let's see where this goes, this journey. Unfortunately, he never really got in sync. What about you? Have you rushed ahead of God? Is it driven by that sense of ego, that self-sufficiency, that impatience now? We can get like that. Now, I'm just going to use the example of the Apostle Peter as we go through these next couple of slides, because Peter was an interesting character. Jesus changed his name from Simon to Simon Peter. Peter meaning the rock upon which I'm going to build my church. And when it came to the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who became sort of the anchor person in it. But of all the disciples, he was probably the natural leader. But at the time of Jesus being brought to the place where he was about to be crucified, and you remember they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're there, Jesus gets betrayed by Judas Iscariot. It's that sad story. But, you know, Peter's starts to react because he can't handle the fact that Jesus is about to be arrested. So he grabs the sword of one of the guys and decides he's going to defend Jesus himself. And he rushes up and there's this poor guy, servant of one of the high priests, standing there, and he lops his ear off. What was he doing? He was running ahead in his own strength to make things happen. Jesus, of course, picks the ear up and puts it back, healed him. It's the last miracle we know that Jesus did, was the healing of this guy's ear. But it was lopped off by somebody that was running ahead of God, Peter at that time, trying to make things happen. Grabbed the sword and drew it and struck Malchus, the high priest's servant, and cut his right ear right off. Now, I'm not suggesting I hope none of you have done something like that. But you all can run ahead of God and try to do things your own strength. And Peter was doing that right then. Jesus reminded him, said, before the night's over, you're going to betray me three times. You'll hear the cock crow and you'll hear this rooster crowing, and it'll remind you that you're fickle, man. You think you're keeping in step with me, but you're not. You're just doing it all in your own strength. Of course, later that night, it did crow. And he was reminded and he felt ashamed. Maybe that's a problem for some of you here this morning, is that you've run ahead of God. It's your own ego and your own sense of independence. You want to make it happen. I just want you to trust God afresh. For some others of you here, it's this next circumstance that's more the case. You're lagging behind God. I've already given some words here this morning to some just to encourage them to break loose and to step forward and to go in it. Because for many of us, and this is where I tend to be, I'm very grateful that I've got a wife who often encourages me in my decision making. Because my natural inclination is to be overcautious. Any of you like that? Scared to make a mistake? It's actually ego in reverse. It's the ego of embarrassment that you might fall over or do something wrong. Lord, I'll just do nothing. That's safer. No, it's not. And I've potentially missed opportunities, I think, in my life because I've gone too slow and I've lagged behind God. And what I'm talking about is keeping in sync. Remember the picture of these guys walking down here? Putting their arms around each other and keeping in harmony with Holy Spirit? Are you lagging behind? Are you pulling back on God? Is God trying to take you forward, but all the stuff in you from your past and from your own personality and your character is saying, oh, it can't be done. No, it's not going to happen. Fears and anxieties and insecurities and lack of confidence and feelings of inadequacy, even tiredness, can cause us to procrastinate and become entrenched in wrong thinking. You know, when we get out of step with God, it's so often that we start to do things in my thoughts. And like, we can be full of good ideas. You've got lots of good ideas. The question is, are they God ideas? Because on the other side, if you keep in step with the Spirit, the ideas flow from God's voice. When you're out of step with the Spirit, they are your thoughts. They might be sometimes even good ideas, but you can start functioning in presumption. You start doing things in your own strength, trying to make it fit, driven by your emotions and what you're feeling at the time. You have it for a moment, but then it fades and you lose it. When something's a God idea, it hangs in there and you can't let it go. It lingers and you can't shake it. If it's a presumptive idea, it's often filled with agitation and anxieties. You're trying to make this thing happen. Whereas when you are functioning in faith, you know. It's just you're at peace, even though the circumstances might not be saying the right things to you. You feel at peace. Are you filled with good ideas or God ideas? A good idea often makes us want to do it in our own strength, whereas a God idea can only happen with wise counsel and within the tenor of Scripture. That's why I love giving verses to people. It's because I want your life to not be aligned by the voice of Hans Vortman, or Hans Vortman, however you want to say it, but I want you to be aligned with the voice of the Holy Spirit. See what he says. So, you know, it's easy for us to get out of step with the Spirit and live in presumption, filled with sometimes even good ideas. And because they're good and because they work out all right, we think, oh yeah, we're okay. But we're not okay. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has not been referenced. And we're just going ahead in good ideas. My encouragement to you right now is step out in God ideas afresh. You ready for that journey? Here's the question. Is the Holy Spirit a partner in your life, a silent partner, or is he an active partner? Does he come into your life at moments of crisis? Oh God, I need your help. And for the rest of the time, we just go on and do it, living our lives in good ideas? Or do we live in God ideas, where we're walking with him? See, with Peter, he had to remind himself that it had to be active. And so in Mark 14, Peter declared, even if everybody else falls away, I won't. But he did, because he was silent, the Holy Spirit. But then on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Later on it says, and Peter, full of the Holy Spirit. Something had switched and changed in Peter on the day of Pentecost. From living independently and trying to do it in his own strength, running ahead of God, he's now full of God ideas and living by the power of the Spirit. The day of Pentecost came to teach us what it would be like to live life in sync with him. If you keep in step, when you add G, or the God factor, the race of life becomes one of grace. It's a good thought, isn't it? You can race through life, or you can add the G factor, God, to the race, and race changes to grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. You know, stepping out in the grace of God takes you from that sense of striving and doing it in your own strength into an amazing partnership, where God's not the silent partner, but he's the active partner. Hallelujah. You ready to go on that journey this morning? You know, put the God factor in your life, and the race of life will turn into grace-filled life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been great to be together, hasn't it? see me afterwards, but I'd love to pray for you right now, for you as a church. Could you stand together? Thank you, Lord, for Bethel Family Church. Thank you, Lord. This is a place where heaven touches earth. This is where the ladder comes down. And like Jacob, named the place Bethel, because he was a place that was the house of God. Let this house here in Moyala be filled with your presence. And Lord, keep us in sync with your Holy Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Can I remind you of that this morning? Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Remember the picture of those guys walking down the aisle. They stumbled and they could fall over easily if they didn't keep in step with each other. But tied to each other and with their arms around each other's shoulders, they could walk at a pace, especially as they allowed Holy Spirit in that partnership to give them the lead. So Holy Spirit, give leadership to this church and let them journey with you in a great partnership of life. The wild goose chase, let it be, Lord, that they just go, Lord, just enjoy every day of their lives together as a church. Lord, for every word that's been given here this morning, Father God, let it run deep into the hearts of these people as heaven has touched earth here this morning. And Lord, may your glory just fill them as they, by the power of your Spirit, move in all the gifts and fruits of the Spirit in the days that lie ahead, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen, which means so be it.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.